Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Good morning. It is Saturday, October 8th, 2011, and welcome to Tech Bacon. I am Scott Gold, and joining me today for the second week in a row is...
Jamie Dooner.
Thanks for joining, Jamie.
Sure.
So for those of you that don't know, that intro was a commercial that Apple aired. Originally in the United States, it had Richard Dreyfuss narrating that narration, and Steve Jobs had originally done the narration, and that was previously unreleased, but you can find it online. So we thought that was apropos, seeing as Wednesday this week, for those of you that don't know, Steve Jobs passed away. Pretty sad.
Very sad.
Yeah, it's been a weird week with regards to that. I think a lot of people are thrown with it happening, how they've been feeling about it. So we're just going to spend a little time reflecting, talking about Steve Jobs and, you know, his impact on technology and us personally and, you know, things along those lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Since last month or, you know, whenever it was that in August, I believe it was that Steve Jobs resigned from Apple, Brian and I spoke about the implications of that and how we were feeling a little bit then, and it seemed to be pointing to the fact that he might have been sick or getting sicker. And that obviously was the case, because a guy like this wouldn't have stepped down if things weren't dire. So, on Wednesday we got the horrible news that that he passed away. And, you know, how have you been feeling about that, Jamie?
Really sad, you know. It's odd. It's probably the first time in my life that someone that wasn't a entertainer or or maybe even some sort of politician or activist has created this response. You know, when they passed away.
Yeah, I think you're right. He wasn't a an entertainer. It wasn't. I mean, his image was synonymous with Apple, but that wasn't his job. Like, he wasn't promoting himself. He was promoting the products and Apple, and
right.
He just happened to be, you know, part of that DNA. You know, part of the Apple DNA, as
right.
They say. And it's really interesting to see people trying to grapple with how they're feeling about it. And why they're feeling that way, at least for me personally.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's stuff that I wrote a little article on Tech Bacon, anybody can check it out, trying to put into words how I'd been feeling about it, because it really caught me off guard how strongly connected I felt to this guy that I had never met before.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was a mysterious guy. We didn't know a lot about him. You know, once or twice a year for the past decade, he's, you know, showed up and presented us with magic in a way.
Right.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Totally.
And so it's like the Wizard of Oz or something. We don't know what we're getting.
We know it's going to be something special.
But yeah, exactly.
And now it's gone.
And presented it in a way, you know, it's not like Apple invented the MP3 player or the tablet or the smartphone, but they took it to its
best
greatest possibility.
Place. Yeah, they brought it to the masses. Well, and in a better way, you
right.
know. I think the adoption of these devices throughout the world wouldn't have been the same were it not for Apple and Steve Jobs.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
absolutely.
His meticulous way of creating these devices and having the last say, I think, made them what they, you know, definitely are, and has pushed the boundaries of other companies to create these devices.
Absolutely.
You know, it definitely, he pushed forward technology in a way that I don't think we're going to see for a long time.
In a creative way, in a way, a lot of what Steve Jobs, I think, is responsible for is making design itself an important part of of what we use in our daily lives, of computers and all that. I mean, look at the introduction of the iMac in, when was that, 99 or something like that?
98, I believe.
98. Computers before that were boxy and, I mean, it was the first computer that had curves and color and...
Oh, yeah.
And it was, it just, everyone was like, what is this thing? You know, right. This is great.
Right, right. I wrote about this, but we could talk about this. It's cool to talk about reflections and stuff regarding him. But I was working in an office. It was my first office job, and obviously I had other jobs before. But this was my first like office gig, and everybody had Macintosh computers and the old beige boxy computers.
Yeah,
every desk had one. And I so remember the first day that iMac got delivered. I mean, it got rolled in, unboxed, and it was like this amazing blue, you know, kind of cool. It was more like a piece of furniture, you know, than this computer. And you know, the guy next to me was the one who got it, and I was like all day just, you know, literally like staring with envy, like there was a hot girl next to me the whole day. And now you have a little bit into the psyche of Scott Gold, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's funny. I kept mine for a long, long time. I mean, I don't have it anymore, but
you had it until
I had it
not
until
that
maybe
long ago.
2 years ago or something.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know why. It just was one of those things, hard to let go. I still have my first generation iPod.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
I think it's got 100 songs on
it. You can hold 1,000, Jamie.
But I mean that invention changed my life. It really did.
Oh yeah. I mean, any music lovers out there, not even just music lovers. I mean, anybody. I know very few people. There are some, but I know few people that don't have an iPod or a portable music player, or, you know, listen to music in a touchscreen interface through their phone.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff, you know, even being, you know, even listening to, you know, having the music player be part of the phone, even if it's not a touchscreen like that.
Yeah.
You know, is attributed to Jobs, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. I saw an interview, you know, they've been playing a lot of interviews with Steve Jobs and stuff over the past few days, from him in, it was like, I don't know, it was either the late 70s or early 80s. I feel like it was the early 80s. And he was talking about how people, you know, everyone back then, people thought of computers as work devices, not even like big work devices, you know, not even at every desk kind of thing. And he was
right. There was a floor.
Yeah, exactly.
A floor of giant machines with tape.
Yeah, and he was talking about a future where everybody had one in their home. And it was so forward-thinking and ridiculous that he was talking about this back then. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of watching this going, and he, you know, he absolutely believed it 100%. He's like, this is, you know, this is what's going to happen. Everybody's going to have one in their bedroom. It's going to be like a television.
Right.
And it became that.
Yeah.
You know? And he was definitely one of the people that spearheaded that, you know, that movement.
For sure. I mean, he was one of the people who took it from sort of technophiles and geeks and brought it to everyone.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that first Macintosh user interface just set the world on fire, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it suddenly all it led to is you didn't have to know how to write code to use a computer anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and
you just had to click on something that looked familiar.
Right. And you
like
could
you
use
had to
it.
Click on an icon, like icons, you know, yeah. around.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like you clicked on an image that looked like something of what you were doing.
Yeah.
You know, and the first version of Macintosh and the first version of Windows, like, those were the first things that did it.
Yeah.
You know, and having the mouse to click on something you were familiar with that didn't exist before.
Right.
You know, and
you had to search in the...
You had to type.
Yeah, you had to type.
You had to type and use the arrow keys and the space bar.
Yeah.
To select text, to bring things up.
Yeah. I mean, I remember playing video games
with the arrow keys.
With the arrow keys.
Remember that?
Our first computer at our house was called a Leading Edge, like a terrible PC thing. And it was good for word processing and playing Jordan versus
Zork.
Bird. And Zork. And it was just, you know, I used it for homework and for, you know, the occasional Rampage game or something.
Right.
But then when I went to college, I got a Quadra.
I remember you had
610,
that computer.
I think it may have been called a Centris at the time, but they changed the name.
Right.
And it was totally different. It was neat.
I remember Jamie had this awesome Macintosh, and I had an old computer from my grandfather's office that he gave me that had an amber and black screen.
Like something out of War Games.
It was totally something out of War Games. It was hilarious. And I used to sign on to Prodigy from that computer. Back, Jamie had AOL and I had Prodigy. See, even back then, like, that was... I mean, it was, you know, it was crazy, but it was, you know, I had a mouse on that machine, but it wasn't the Mac. It was totally, you know, it was definitely a very different experience. I remember, you know, and that's the whole weird thing about this is when he passed away, I was like processing. I'm like, why is this affecting me so much? Like, what is going on? And I started to get all these crazy memories of when I was younger of stuff that I just hadn't thought about.
Yeah.
You know, and computers and technology are a big part of my life. But I never had dug into really like where that came from or why that was there.
Well, I think a big part of it is, I mean, look at how much our society has evolved in the past 30 years because of technology.
Right.
And here's the first guy who's really at the forefront of it that has passed away.
Right.
You know?
I agree. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, it's such a new thing. Like computers, you know, if you really think about it, you know, like, and he passed away really young.
Right.
So like, you know, I would say, you know, he had another couple decades.
So it's like the Jimi Hendrix or the Kurt Cobain kind of thing. Like, James Dean.
He was at the top of his game.
What is his potential? Well, all those guys were.
Right.
But they were young.
Right.
They hadn't gotten to that second tier yet, which he had. But, it's a very odd thing. My mom is very sad about it, you know, and she's not a technology person,
right?
But she uses, you know, she plays on an iPad with her grandson, and she has an iPhone, and we've since early college we've had Macintosh computers in our family,
right?
Because they're easy to use,
for non-technophiles. No, that's true, and I still, you know,
and they're pretty.
They are.
That's another thing.
Well, I mean, design wise, you know, but that's interesting what you're saying, like that Steve Jobs had his second, you know, wave basically of what he's been able to give the world.
Yeah.
And you know, if you think about it, at the point, you know, so he, in the late 70s, early 80s, Apple, all the main Apple projects, he created a project called Lisa, which was kind of the precursor to Macintosh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Macintosh came out, and then he came back into the fold, and the first, I think, of his next generation of products was the iMac,
right?
Like we were talking about,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, that was, it was, but almost like that was the beginning of his renaissance.
What he did in the interim is very interesting too.
Very
with
true.
Next, and he bought Pixar and basically revolutionized desktop editing.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because that's, you know, that's another aspect that I don't think it's getting as much play in the press per se.
Uh-huh.
is that? I mean, this guy, think about the movies that you go to nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, and the like Pixar had obviously the first computer animated movie, and Steve Jobs is one of the, you know, founding, you know, investors of right. Pixar, you know, and he, one of the first things that Pixar actually did, they had this technology, this RenderMan technology, which is still, I think, maybe what it's called, that they still use, but it was used originally, the first like computer quote unquote animated thing they did was to, they fed a Disney movie into the computer. I believe it was The Rescuers Down Under.
Mm-hmm.
And that was technically, it was hand-drawn and then computer-colored, I believe, and put together on a computer. So technically, that was the first, like, computer-made movie.
Oh, it was edited on a
yeah.
computer.
Huh. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's all that comes through Pixar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, pretty fascinating, you know?
Yeah.
What he's been a part of. I mean, he was this, you know, after Pixar got bought by Disney, he was the single largest shareholder of Disney.
Yeah. Well, he bought Pixar for $5 million. He sold it for $7.4 billion. I mean, that's insane.
Insane. Insane. Insane. Yeah. I mean, it's not just the computer. His hands were in such a reach, and it was, I believe, you know, it was so inspiring, and he surrounded himself with such amazing artists. And
I think he just really, know. He searched out passionate people that and pushed them to do their highest quality work. I mean, he notoriously was, you know, kind of a tough boss.
Yeah. Well, that's what people say.
But he, you know, he pushed people in the right way, I guess. I mean.
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody, you know, has their things.
I don't think you can achieve what he did without, you know.
Pissing some people off.
Pissing a lot of people off. But yeah, what he achieved is, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. There was a little.
We had a little little audio glitch there.
We would not be. We're not living up to the job standard.
Yes, unfortunately. You know, I think you touched on something earlier when you were talking about, you know, every year, a couple times a year, he would take the stage and bring us something magical.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost. I think maybe that's why people are feeling so much of this, because it's such a great sense of loss of something you're looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost like looking forward to, you know, to Christmas every year, or looking forward to birthday or something that you know is going to make you feel good, and you feel like that's not going to be there anymore.
In reality, though, there's still 4 or 5 years of
products that he had his hands in.
Yeah, so you know, 5 years down the road, let's see where Apple goes, and
sure.
Then you're getting beyond his influence. Well, his influence will always be there, but then you will really see it how it's totally been turned over.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very true. Have you had like, are there any like moment, like Apple moments that you know remember just deeply, or like after this happened that you started thinking about, that just, you know, you were like, wow, you know, that's how it's touched my life, and something I didn't even kind of realize.
I mean, the whole sort of the notion of him, you know, the stuff he did when he wasn't at Apple and how editing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
That, because I'd never thought of that about that before, I guess.
Right.
I mean, I've seen the evolution of it. When we first were in film school, you know, they bought an Avid like, what, 2 years in, and it was still a huge pain.
Yeah.
To use.
Oh yeah.
And now it's.
Well, now you have it. You can have it on your home laptop.
Yeah, you have it on. Everyone has like iMovie or a version of it, and it's
anybody
super
you can do
simple.
It on your phone.
Yeah,
you can do it
on your phone.
I mean, think about that. How insane that sounds right now.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, several times, you know, I remember the first computer I had that had audio-video inputs.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
It was, I believe, the Quadra 840 AV. I mean, he wasn't even at the company there.
No,
but
not
like,
at that point.
But I'm sure, I don't know if he influenced that at all, but.
I'm sure there was some influence on that stuff. I mean, you know, everything he left had some, you know, little bit of influence.
But then, of course, the iMac, the iPod, man.
I mean, the iPod.
Literally going from carrying a Sony Discman around with my backpack, you know, I'd have 3 or 4 CDs in there. And you'd listen to the same album over and over and over again until you felt like changing the disc.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you could have as many albums as you wanted just at your fingertips.
Yeah. I remember prior to the iPod coming out, the company came out with a portable MP3 player that looked like a Discman.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think it was creative or something like
had
that.
Had a really tiny display screen that was like long and thin and rectangular, maybe orange color.
I don't remember, but yeah. But I remember I remember thinking, oh, what an amazing thing. You could put 100 songs in here and, you know, you wouldn't have to do anything. But it never took off and people didn't really buy into it until the iPod.
Because of the design.
It was the design and the simplicity.
Yeah.
Like that was one of, I think, Steve Jobs' biggest contributions is he just wanted it to work. He didn't want people to think about what they were doing.
Right.
If you wanted to play a song, he wanted you to think in your brain, I want to play a song, play a song. He didn't want you to think, I got to go to this folder, find this file, you know, hit play, play the song. If you wanted to buy a song, he wanted you to think, okay, what song do I want? Buy, and now it's on my device and I can listen to it. It was all about, it was about the simplicity. And obviously the technology behind the simplicity was fantastic and extremely complex. But us as the consumer, we never saw that.
Right.
And that was the genius.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was that mentality is what drove all the Apple products from the beginning of that first iMac.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Beautiful design and ease of use. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like I couldn't wait to get my first iPod.
Yeah.
And I remember using it the first time and going it was just so simple. And I was blown away by the simplicity. I was just like, God, this is too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Me as a computer guy, I want to rip things apart. I want to play with them. I want to upgrade them. I want to do like to wrap my brain around that. It was harder for me to comprehend the simplicity than something more complex.
Right.
And that's amazing, I think.
With the iPhone as well, just I've never been someone. I still don't like putting my music on my phone a little bit.
Not, what about now that there's going to be a 64 gig?
That
iPhone?
Might change it. That might change it.
That almost makes me want one.
but the design of the iPhone. You know, I got an iPhone. Not the first one, but the second one.
The 3G.
Yeah, that was my first iPhone.
Yeah,
and yeah, another invention that totally changed my life, you know?
Oh, yeah. I honestly remember walking into – I mean, I saw the presentation about it and I thought it was cool. There was a lot of leaks and nobody really knew what it was going to look like, but there was a lot of speculation about it coming out for a couple of years and eventually it came out. I remember walking into the Apple store and got my hands on it and I was sitting there playing with this thing and I'm just like, I'm in – the future. I'm living right now. I am living in the future that I dreamed about as a kid.
It was half like, Quantum Leap, half Great Space Coaster, like all the little devices, Star Trek that people had on shows that, you know, we watched when we were growing up that seemed totally out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
Was suddenly in our hand.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like I was, and it's such a
completely intuitive.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I watch my nephews play with
me too,
an iPhone or an iPad, and they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. It's scary.
It's weird. It's I turn around and I hand my nephew my phone. And he's playing with it. I turn around and he's 2 years old.
He sent a text message to me saying, "What's up? You want to go grab a drink?" And I'm like, no, "Jamie, wait, I thought you were in Houston."
He's watching an Elmo video on YouTube, and I never looked that up on my computer on my thing. Not that I know of. But yeah, so how, I mean, like it's so however they did that, however they figured that out, I mean, years and years of thinking and
– Oh, yeah.
It just blows my mind.
Yeah.
And he's the driving force behind that. You know, people have been comparing him a lot to, you know, they call it one of the great inventors. You know, they compare him to Edison. And I think that's a really apt comparison because Thomas Edison didn't invent everything that you – that he's attributed
right.
to inventing.
Right.
But what he did do was create a
– He brought it to the masses.
Well, not only that, but he created a place for people to come to –
Create. Right. Yeah, that's true.
And so.
Well, I mean, it's like you look at guys like Bill Gates, right? And Paul Allen and, you know, all the other people that were around and, you know, involved with the personal computing revolution, right?
Right.
And these guys were amazing programmers mm-hmm. and amazing Bill Gates, amazing businessman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you think about it. The thing I think that separated Jobs that you had touched on is this guy, he was an artist. He was an actor. He was, you know, like he was – it for him, it wasn't just about the business, you know?
It was about everyone's personal connection with the device.
It was about changing the human condition in a strange way.
Right.
You know, and we're talking about this in such a large scale.
But I think that's important.
But it is. I'm saying it is like – It really – and maybe that's why it's affecting us so much because we're actually – you know, as we've lived with it and it has gone on, we've done these things and it's become part of our everyday life. But when you take a second to reflect on it and think about it, all of a sudden you realize how deeply ingrained it is into the world's day-to-day life.
Well, it's hard to think about like what things were like before for example, the super friendly user interface or the iPod or the iPhone or the iPad. Like it's hard to remember like what things were like in a weird way, like how you
right.
interacted with
like
technology.
What you did.
I don't remember how I, you know, how
Pre-email.
Much different my computer was. when I first started college and it is now, it's really – I mean I know it was a lot slower and all that sort of stuff. But if you had shown me my operating system back then, I would have been like, what is this? And would have been freaked out and what are you doing? You're from the future.
You're a magician. You're a sorcerer.
Future,
we need to burn you.
She's a witch.
That's what it would have been like. And that's the
crazy. She turned me into a newt. A newton. Because of
newt.
The apple.
Newton.
Didn't they have a little PDA thing called a Newton?
The Newton. Yes, yeah. They did. They actually
so,
did. That's
there
true.
You go.
There you go. You tied it all in. You know, there was an awesome quote that Jobs had been saying the last few keynotes was that Apple as the intersection of liberal arts and technology. And it's just so apropos and true.
Yeah.
It's really true, you know, that you can use your iPad to edit a video, make a picture.
He really strived to make a tool for artists to use.
Yeah.
Like he understood that not every – and this goes to the whole sort of PC versus Mac debate. A lot of people that have that debate, that's a debate that is a technophile debate.
Right.
It's a cost debate for sure, but it's also a how can I you know I want to get in and someone that's a PC person wants to get in and really mess with the meat of the computer.
Right.
Mac person doesn't really care about that. They want to have it. They
want
to have
it.
Yeah. They don't want to think about it. They want to have their purpose is to use it for other things. Like it's like having a manual transmission car, right?
Right.
Like some people want to soup it up and you know make the meanest, you know, fine-tuned machine that they can. Other people just want automatic transmission.
Yeah.
So that they can get where they're going.
Right.
As
right.
simple as possible.
Yeah. No, that's true. And so I mean it was like so you know, Jobs wanted everyone to be able to be an artist.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to – You didn't have to know how to build an engine to drive your car. You know, you just had to open up your iPod and create a masterpiece. You know, or your iPad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, God, I mean, I've just, it literally has been going on in my mind over and over and over and over again for the past few days. And it's just, I don't know. It's weird. It's it affected me in such a strange way. And I think everybody, I've heard that from a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I don't think people were expecting to.
Well, because, you know, and everyone sort of knew it was coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it's.
And he was just a man. He was just a man, but he was a man with a vision, and he wasn't going to let anything get in his way, which is pretty cool.
Right.
You know, that's at least, you know, what I think. I wanted to just talk, you know, I wrote about this, but I, you know, some people didn't read it. I just wanted to talk about a couple of, like, just, you know, things we talked about a bunch, but one of the memories that, you know, we talked about the iPhone being magical, but I remember in 05 when the keynote was going on and Steve was announcing different, you know, different things. And then at the end, he reaches into his little change pocket, you know, pocket watch pocket in his pants and pulls out the iPod Nano.
Uh-huh.
And I swear to God, I was speechless for about 5 minutes. I didn't.
Then you made like a girly. Right?
No, then I called Brian.
You swooned.
No, but I did. I swooned. I fainted. I was, you know.
It was. You had the vapors.
It was to me. It was the first time where that was really a moment of. I think that was a moment of change. I think that was a defining moment where things went from what we thought was possible to what we never dreamed could be possible.
Right.
And I think that was when that happened. And the next time it happened was with the iPhone. But like that one moment, and it wasn't a crazy thing, except that it was so small that it just didn't seem possible.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem possible. You could do everything you could do with the iPod on a device, you know, the size of a stick of gum.
Right.
Like, wow. Well, now, whatever, everything's gotten smaller and little, and we can do a billion things with small devices. Yeah. But, you know, at that point, I just, you know.
I did the same thing with the Shuffle. Oh, wait, no, I didn't.
But you did do the same thing.
I did do the same thing the other day with the new Nano.
Yes,
I totally
did, Jamie.
Bought one. It's coming to me.
Well, I think that's a good way to segue into. The other big news that happened the day before he passed away was the new iPhone announcement.
Right.
You know, so we're at the point we have the new iPhone announcement. And it was I'm trying to pull up the tech spec so we can talk about it a little more. So we got a lot of people were speculating that we were going to get a new iPhone 5.
Mm-hmm.
A new form factor and possibly bigger screen or blah, blah, blah. There were all these rumors going around. The announcement came out and that it was not the case. We got the revised iPhone 4S. Bumped
or
up.
Or as I call it, the 4s.
The 4s.
Or some people have calling it the 4 Steve.
They are. I saw that. I thought that was actually pretty cool.
I like the 4s, though.
I like the 4s. The iPhone 4s, yo. I don't know. Yeah. So. So what we get are some bumped up specs,
mm-hmm.
A better camera. We're getting the new dual core A5 chip, which is the same or similar chip that powers the iPad too.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing is a way, way, way faster device.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking way faster. We get a 64-gigabyte model.
Mm-hmm.
It's a world phone, so you can roam all over the world. Sprint's become a partner now, so now you can buy the iPhone on Sprint. You can get all the major most of the major carriers now, AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint.
Mm-hmm.
The AT&T version is going to be able to be on the HSPA high-speed data network, the quote-unquote 4G data network.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be able to.
Or as I like to call it, 4G.
Yes, you do, Jamie. Yes, you do. We also get a 8-megapixel camera with better optical sensors and, you know, definitely quicker response time when taking photos and, you know, mm-hmm. all these things. What were your thoughts when you heard about this stuff?
You know, it
As a current iPhone 4 user and kind of a normal guy, you see this announcement.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't make me want to rush out and get one. But I will happily replace it with one if need be.
When the time comes.
Yeah. Yeah, there was nothing about the camera things exciting, I suppose, and the speed.
Right. You know, I feel like it's similar to from the iPad to the iPad 2 almost. You know, mm-hmm. current users, not necessary to upgrade. Someone who didn't have it, absolutely they're going to want it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If I had an iPhone 3 or a 3G, I'd be like, yeah. Get me the 4s.
Yeah. my dad's got the 3GS. I know he's definitely been waiting, and I know he's definitely going to get this. There's no doubt about it. I think they refined it to its best possible place.
Right.
I mean, this is a pretty amazing phone if you think about it. Now, is it the most exciting thing in the world? No, but is it better? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, I think that I would tell people to get it if they were thinking about upgrading.
Right. And this
it's not a lot of people were waiting for the iPhone 5. I know a few people that were.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to wait another year or whatever, right? And
probably not even, because like they, you know, when they did with the 3G, then they did the 3GS,
the 3Gs,
you know, and maybe, you know, from now on it's going to be this 2-year release cycle where they release one, they release an update, and then they release the next version.
Right.
And which seemed, that's what they did with the 3G, the 3GS, and then the 4. So right. It makes sense. 4S, and then we get the 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I totally understand that. It's more along the lines of how they do computers.
Right.
You know, which makes perfect sense. I mean,
and makes the consumer feel obsolete after 6 months. Why don't I have a new one?
The new and shiny. My addiction. The new and shiny.
There's a that different is my letter addiction. Behind it.
Amazing.
I'm going to throw my iPhone on the ground just so I get a new one.
Yeah, you know, when technology moves so fast like it does these days,
uh-huh.
You know, you can never be caught up. You can never be caught up. You have to buy, which, you know, I always think buy when it's pretty new so you can have it the longest, because eventually you're going to be at the point where you want something new right away.
Pretty new, not brand new.
I mean, me personally, I like the brand new.
Right.
But I forewarn that the brand new is
brand
bound
new,
to come with
yeah,
problems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're going to have problems with brand new. Yes. Always.
A first-generation product is always going to have some issues. But I like the new, and I want to have something that nobody else has.
Yeah. How do you feel about the phone compared to what you have?
What I have?
Yeah.
Well, here's my thing about the iPhone. I've always loved the iPhone. I think it's uh-huh. an amazing device. I'm a guy that enjoys having a keyboard on my phone. And yeah. to be perfectly honest, I would say that's probably the only reason I don't have an iPhone.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, however much I like rooting into a device and hacking it and installing a new OS and doing all these things, the biggest for me is the keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, I love having the keyboard. I think it's great to have all these different phones, but, you know, the iPhone, they do it right. They do it right. It's an amazing
slogan.
We just do it right.
We do it right.
We just do it right.
Yeah. Sounds like a fast food slogan. Right?
I would say that these new specs made me think about possibly getting an iPhone.
Really?
I do have to say that. Yeah.
What about it?
Well, there is a couple things. One is the faster processor, and I've seen this with other phones, not just the iPhone yet, but like on HTC phones and Android phones. The speed difference you notice with the dual core processor,
yeah,
you notice. You actually notice it.
I saw them demoing the video game too. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the new camera is enticing to me.
The camera's a big.
And the other big thing, to be honest, is the 4G quote unquote 4G speeds on AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
On my phone that I have now in T-Mobile, I get the HSPA speeds. And I get super fast browsing speeds, and it makes a huge, huge difference. You know, it changes things.
Mm-hmm.
It changes things. And so having those features on the iPhone, it almost has everything I want
except
the keyboard. Yeah.
Right.
And obviously those speeds are only on AT&T.
I've never had an issue with the touch keyboard.
Yeah.
But I also went straight from texting using my keypad on an old cell phone to an iPhone. So I never had a BlackBerry or any sort of smartphone with a keyboard.
Right, right. I mean, it's not that I can't type on I mean, I can. And like I've gone on vacation where I took my iPod Touch instead of my computer.
Plus autocorrect sometimes is hilarious.
Yes. Autocorrect is hilarious. I agree. It happened. There's some awesomeness that occurs with autocorrect. You know, I've seen some people.
If you haven't looked at Damn You Autocorrect, check it out.
Yes, it is hilarious. Fantastic. But, you know, like guys like Brian are so fast on the touch typing. I've seen it. You know, he can type just as fast as I think I can on a keyboard.
Yeah.
But there's something that, I don't know, it bothers me when I do it. And I've done it. Like, I've taken my iPod instead of my computer on like a 3-day vacation. I've had to respond to emails and do all those things. It drove me nuts.
You like the tactile?
I'm personally quicker on it, and yeah. I'm also more precise when I do it. I don't make as many mistakes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the autocorrect eventually gets you on everything the more you use it, you know.
To be honest, like I don't even when autocorrect pops up, like I generally just correct it myself unless it's like a really long word.
Yeah. Also, do you
but I don't type many of those.
Do you do a lot of emailing from your phone or is it more texting?
Both.
You know, cuz I'll respond to, you know, clients and I'll, you know, write a paragraph on the phone and, you know, have to do it and it just I just like having
I will say if I'm not at my keyboard, my email response is definitely more concise.
Right. Right.
But
I mean, obviously I can type better on my regular keyboard too than the
plus it's just awesome when an email response is sent from my iPhone at the bottom.
Yeah, of course.
I'm awesome.
on my touchpad that I have, I put my signature as sent from my $150 touchpad.
Did you really?
Wow. Just for the hell of it. I thought it was funny.
What do you think of the whole what's it called? Siri.
Mm-hmm. Siri. Yeah, that's the other big new feature that they're integrating. So Siri is a voice recognition, artificial intelligence. It's artificially intelligent. The AI personal assistant, I would call it, built into the phone. It's only available on the 4S.
On the 4s.
And so even though all the other phones are going to be able to upgrade to iOS 5, you know, the old iPhone 4s and stuff, they're not going to have Siri. I guess it probably depends. It's probably because of the chip in the phone. I haven't used it, obviously. And Siri was available as an app for the iPhone prior to Apple buying them. And obviously, I'm sure they bought it and made it better. But the whole concept, I think, is just not – I don't know. It's just not there yet, I feel.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like even when the voice recognition is really good, there's just still something about it that's not quite perfect yet or good enough to use day to day in my
mind. But
it's
better than it's been.
It is better than it's been, and it's still getting better.
Isn't that how things get to be where they're perfect?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But it doesn't
slow
mean
and steady wins the race.
Yeah. I mean, like, currently I have...
I think I can.
I have the Genius button on my phone, which on the HTC MyTouch 4G slide, uses the Nuance software, which is that company Dragon. They do Dragon Naturally Speaking, and it's built into a lot of phones. BlackBerry uses Nuance, I think, for their voice recognition. The voice recognition is really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty dead on. I can, on my phone, in natural
have you ever
voice.
Have you ever tried using like a crazy accent to see if
I have not. I have not, but maybe we're going to have you try that.
Oh, totally.
I think we're going to have Jamie try that. but it, like, I can say, call Jamie Dooner on mobile in that voice, and it picks it up and it dials. And I do it in the car a lot. And I can say, send text Jamie Dooner. What are you doing tonight? You want to go to a movie? And it's pretty dead on. But I found after doing it a couple of times, the only thing I really use it for is the voice dialing.
Right.
You know, I can't, you can even do navigate to Ralph's and it will pull up the navigation and start the navigation. I don't use that either.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of things, especially for like navigation, or unless you're going to a place you go to all the time, which then you don't really need the navigation.
Yeah.
But you want to look at a map and see the area you're around.
But doesn't it bring pull up a map?
Sometimes, a lot of times, it just brings up a list. It brings up a list.
But the Apple one will bring up the map.
No, the Apple one, when you go,
that's what it had on the
in the demonstration. If you say find a bar in this area,
right,
you'll get a list of bars in the area, and that was one of their whole.
And then it will say, "I think you have a problem."
Well, and that was one of the whole things, is that they're kind of bypassing Google a little bit on these search terms, because it's not taking you to the Google page.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is kind of interesting. That's something people have been talking about. Now, I'm sure you can have it bring stuff up on a map, but it's different.
It's not a Google map.
I don't know. But also, like, even when you – like, if you search for something and you bring it up on a list, you don't know what's around – if it's around this corner, if you have to pass the freeway even though it's closer to get to it. So you still want to be holding your phone, and at that point you might as well type it in. In my opinion. Yeah. So we just found online that it does show you maps.
It does bring up a map.
But it also does do the other thing. So it works.
Map and a list.
Works in both ways.
Yeah.
So we're both right.
Right.
But I'm just saying, in concept, I guess the Siri scheduled an appointment with me for Joe Johnson at 3:30 p.m. I don't know. I'm going to see Jurassic Park 3.
Wasn't that Johnston?
Yes. U571.
Of Captain America and Rocketeer and
U5,
Jurassic Park 3?
U571.
And U571?
Yeah.
What else?
I think that's it. Okay. Yes, we'd be able to use Siri to ask that question.
I think it's neat. I can't wait to play around with it, but I don't know how much I'll use it.
Impractical, like day to day. Yeah. I mean, I think, you and I were talking earlier about it would be cool if you could just say Siri and it would recognize your voice and then start up, without having to press a button.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would change things a little bit,
as
far as usability. But also at the same time, these things, doing and searching for these things, I feel like you would only really use them in situations where your hands are not free.
Right.
Like driving a car or doing other things. Jamie,
hey, I said nothing. You took it there.
Yeah, but you looked at me weird.
I can't help it, man. There are so many genital joke opportunities on this podcast.
Wow.
It's constant. I'm sorry.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm going to cry. So anyway, that's what I think of the Siri in general. It looks pretty amazing, just the way you can use natural conversation to do the talking.
Yeah.
And I think that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel – it's not game changing. It's not – it's just something, it's an additional feature that is neither here nor there for me,
right?
Personally,
yeah, I feel the same way. It's not if it was super super awesome, everyone I know would be trying to get one of these phones,
right? I mean, like, what to you, something along these lines? Like, is there anything that would make it super awesome where you need to have this in conceptually with that voice kind of control like that? Like, if there was, do you think there's something that they could have announced that you would have been like, yes, I want to buy this?
Yes, you get three wishes. Three wishes and they all come true, but you can't wish for more wishes.
Amazing.
Always. Siri, talk dirty to me.
Wow.
Does it talk back to
you? We're going off the rails. Yes, it does.
Okay. It does. Is it a...
Because it'll say, like, if you say...
Is it very, like... deep, blah, blah,
it
bleep.
Sounded pretty, pretty good for that kind of voice. Yes, it was. It's bleep, blop, bleep, bleep, bleep.
Well, you know what I mean.
It says,
take
you say
left at the next light.
They've gotten a little better with that voice stuff.
They need to get like an actor to read all the words in the English language And then you could just use the cloud.
Right.
And there you go. There you go, Apple.
There's
your next $1 billion. Thanks to James Dooner.
On their website, it says, Siri, your wish is our command. You know, it's their, you know, genie in a bottle and genie in the iPhones.
Right. Yeah, maybe if they had the little, like, I Dream a Genie cartoon every time. Like, while you're waiting for it to answer, they played that. I could get behind that.
Yes,
for a
master.
Day.
If you said Siri, I said yes, master. No. And a little picture of Barbara Eden that comes up.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, how far are we from? Is this all leading to sort of like that being everywhere? You know what
Maybe.
I mean? In our homes and
it's possible.
All that you like.
Well, and you know,
Jetsons what? or I always think of that Ray Bradbury. I think it's a poem, There Will Come Soft Rains.
Mm-hmm.
And look it up if you get a chance. It's a beautiful poem, but the whole sort of gist is that there's been some sort of cataclysmic event and there are no humans around anymore, and it's just this like house computer talking to itself.
Oh,
like going through the daily routine without anyone interacting.
Without anybody interacting.
It's interesting.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I think if like we're, you know, saying if this thing were to listen to you and it didn't have to press a button and you could walk in a room and say, Siri, turn on the lights, tune in my song, whatever, you're in a very Star Trek world,
right?
You know, at that point, you know, where they would walk
into
like the bridge.
It's like a fancy version of the clapper.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And also, you know what, to be honest, clap on. what I feel like is there's two different kinds of people in the world in general. Some people that rely
on... Are you
about
to get racist? 'Cause that's...
Yes, I am. Technophiles and non-technophiles. No. When, you know, there's people who rely on an assistant to do everything for them, you know,
yeah.
And some people that don't. There's some people that like to have a call made for them, you know, in like a work environment. And there's some people that like to make the phone call themselves.
I don't know. There's a lot of people that can't afford to have an assistant.
No. But regardless if you can or you can't, you're that type of person or you're not that type of person.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're doing it on a daily basis. I'm just saying that there's that kind of person in the world. Whether
yeah.
if something could be done for you, you'll have it done for you. Or if you can do it yourself, you'll do it yourself.
Right.
Regardless of what it is.
Right.
And I think the people that like to have it done for you will embrace this. And the people that don't will just want to do it themselves. I think it's a very personal preference in how you like to do your workflow and your life flow.
Right.
You know, your life flow. That sounded very metaphysical. Ooh, life flow from Apple.
Life flow sounds like some sort of like
let your life flow.
It sounds like an estrogen pill or something, doesn't it?
No.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, maybe it does a little bit. I think that's all the iPhone 4S stuff.
Uh-huh.
They also announced I said the bigger version, the 64 gig version. Oh, that was another reason why I thought about possibly getting one.
Oh, yeah. That's,
and the longer battery life.
That's a game changer for me. Like, that might make me listen to music on my iPhone,
well,
which I don't do now.
And also, the integration with iCloud, the longer battery life, that's mm-hmm. a big thing. Like,
yeah.
Longer battery life on phones, and Brian and I have spoke about this in the past. I think that's the next killer app is battery life, you know?
Right.
They've also changed the price point because you're going to be able to get, the lower model phones for free and for $99. So it starts from free $99, up to $399 for the phones.
Free $99 to $399.
Only at Jack's Apple Shack.
Apple Jack's.
Thank you.
There you go.
I know. Come down to Apple Jack's. We got your iPhone. We got your iPhone 4.
What voice is that?
I don't know. It's some weird Southern dude.
Yeah, really weird Southern dude. At the south of where is
we
what
got
I want to
Apple Jack. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, I think.
We're losing it here at the end of the
show. Sorry.
All right. But also, they had the new...
The Nano.
The Nano. Tell us about the Nano, Jamie.
Well, the Nano is... it's new. No, the newest version has a new user interface, so it's
well,
it's,
describe
it's,
what I mean, like
it's
the
size
Nano.
Of the Shuffle, right? And so it's a little tiny 1-inch by 1-inch square, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact specifics.
Right.
The original Nano was, like you said earlier, the size of a stick of gum, and it was long and thin, and the screen.
See? It's not just me.
And it made your hands sticky.
Seriously.
I'm sorry.
Jamie. This is
what?
A family-friendly show here.
Gum. I was talking about gum.
Okay.
So the original Nano was long and thin, and it the display screen was also long and thin, rectangular.
Right.
They came out with the Shuffle, which was, you know, 1-inch by 1-inch square, but had no display on it. You were just kind of – I never liked that because it was sort of like
– it was really, I think, designed for
runners.
Here's
any song that you have. Like, we're not – you can't choose what right. order
it's just
going to
shuffle. It's just going to shuffle. You know?
Right. So this new one has a really nice display. It's –
It's a – just so everyone – it's a 240 by 240 pixel resolution, 220 pixels per inch. Is the display.
It comes in a variety of colors, as
the Apple products usually do.
It has a really nice user interface. It's a lot like the touch interfaces, and that's very appealing to me.
I think, I mean, like, they designed it for this device.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to overlay some other kind of touch interface, like, this is its own little touch interface now, but they're promoting it in a very interesting way.
They're basically promoting it as a watch.
Yeah.
Which is I think that's great. They have something like 18 clock faces that come with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy a wristband for it. And the, you know, the fifth grader in me thinks this is the neatest thing of all time.
Me too.
It's like, it's
this is the Swatch of the next generation.
Right. When I was a kid, I had a calculator watch for a little bit.
Casio?
Casio, yeah. I also had a little Transformers watch that, like, you know, you could transform into a robot.
You would take it off the watch and it would be like a little
toy. But
it wasn't a real robot?
No.
Oh, man.
But it was still better than the movie. but this is like the, you know, this is almost James Bondian. You know,
it is.
You know,
it is.
It's you have a full computer on your wrist. I don't know if it has like a calculator on it or anything like that.
I don't know. I bet you it does.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we haven't seen it yet, but
it
funny.
Also has all the fitness stuff on it. All the right. Nike, you know,
pedometer,
a couple years ago they had a partnership with Nike, and it has a pedometer and you know, you can pick specific running music programs and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
But yeah, man, I just think it's it is super neat.
And also this new software that is on there is going to be available for the current Nanos that are out there now.
Oh, great!
So it's going to be a software upgrade. Also, it's interesting when this form factor of the Nano came out, all these third party companies started making these watch bands,
mm-hmm.
and it was, you know, wasn't something I don't think Apple expected. And it's cool to see that they've embraced that and realized what a great idea it is.
Well, I got to say, like, for a few years, I probably haven't, since I've had an iPhone, I haven't really worn a watch. And it is something I miss. And I don't think watches are ever going to go away. Like, I think it's sort of a timeless
classic
accessory.
But I'm bummed.
Yeah, I think it's – we were having this discussion earlier, and it's not – you know, it sounds ridiculous, but it's a lot easier to flip over your wrist to check the time than it is to reach into your pocket.
Unlock your phone.
Yeah.
Or just press a button to see.
And I don't know if the watch screen constantly is on, or do you have to press a button?
We're going to have to know. I mean, here's what I'm thinking it might be. It might be where the backlight is either really dim or off unless you touch it. But at that point, you still, unless you're in bright, bright sunlight, you could still see the watch.
Yeah.
You know, if that's the case. Now, the battery in there is awesome because it has 24 hours of playback,
yeah.
which means standby time has got to be ridiculously long.
Right.
I mean, if that thing can play back music for a full 24 hours on a little device like that, the power consumption has got to be so small that thing can probably last a couple weeks if you don't really, you know, aren't using the features.
And the price at
149 or something?
Yeah, for the top one, it might be 199, but is it 149?
It's something like
that. Anyway.
It's a great price point. 129.
149 for the 16 gig.
You cannot beat that.
That is less than I would probably pay for an
actual regular watch.
Yeah.
It's true. It's
so,
true. I think this is going
to
be an explosive seller.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a crazy holiday gift item.
Oh, for sure.
I think this thing is going to sell like hotcakes.
Yeah.
I love hotcakes.
How does, you know, sell like hotcakes? Where does that come from?
You know,
like,
I actually looked that up at one point, but I don't remember. We can talk about it on the next show and actually give the origin of sell like hotcakes, because I looked it up at one point. It's a good story.
I mean, was there like a cabin in the Pacific Northwest and a bunch of lumberjacks showed up out of the blue and all they had was hotcake batter?
That's totally the story. No. No, not at all.
That was not – lumberjacks.
All right. Since we're talking about food, I think we should – I'm going to move into a little bit of food just quickly, because this really isn't a food, you know, specific episode. I'm going to talk about something that I kind of like just a little bit. Just, you know, I have
– Wait, let me guess. Cookies?
How'd you know, Jamie?
Ice cream.
Cookies.
Cookies.
Just
hey,
a quick –
first guess.
A quick aside on the cookie front.
Love that movie.
The cookie front?
On the cookie front.
On the cookie front. It's such a – it makes me cry every time. have you ever had the Pillsbury – dough, you know, pre-made dough cookies that they sell in the grocery store?
I am an American.
Okay.
So yes.
No. The Pillsbury, not the Nestle.
Pillsbury.
Okay. I'm just, hey.
Both
man.
Of them.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Who hasn't had both?
Okay. What do you prefer? The Pillsbury or the Nestle's?
I feel like the Nestle's better because they are a chocolate company. And if you're getting if you're getting the chocolate chip cookies, you go for the chocolate company's
right.
dough. But I feel like the Pillsbury
dough
is it's been around longer.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I mean
they have their mascot is a man made of dough.
This is true. Very.
Ever wonder what would happen
if
they baked the Pillsbury dough boy?
You would have a Pillsbury dough cookie.
Would you eat that cookie?
Absolutely. it would be like a
I was an owl, and
the
I don't know what you were.
The gingerbread man.
Neither of it was the Pillsbury Doughboy. The gingerbread man is
the cooked Pillsbury Doughboy.
No, gingerbread man's like...
Think about it.
No, it's true, but like the Pillsbury Doughboy baked would be huge. He's made out a lot of dough.
Wait,
he's like
not
the
big.
Sliced...
He's not big. He's like the size of the roll of cookies when he's
but
on
the
counter.
But that's a lot of if you put an entire roll of cookies, that's an experiment right there. Put a roll of cookies on it. Don't even cut them up and just bake it and see what happens.
A cookie log. I don't know if I like. I don't know if I like this, Jamie. But I'm going to try it. You know, I'm going to try it.
I saw something interesting that I thought of you, by the way.
Yeah.
If you take cookie dough and you take a muffin pan. Turn it upside down, and you put the cookie dough. Press it against the back of the indentation of the muffins,
yeah.
And then cook it. Then you have little cookie bowls, and you can put ice cream in them.
You just blew my mind. you just blew my mind. I don't know.
You're gonna do that, aren't you?
I need to take a second here. I need to process what Jamie just said right now, because I'm like. The possibilities are endless, Jamie. Cookie. Oh my. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Do you bake them on top of the pan?
Yeah. You like spray Pam or whatever.
And you just press it onto the bottom.
You press it on. Instead of pressing it on a flat surface, you make it do it around the cup.
This is insanity.
And it'll make a bowl.
I want to try this right now. I wish I had. I wish I hadn't eaten all the Pillsbury cookie dough that I had to start my story off with there.
Do you think the Pillsbury cookie
Ow.
Pillsbury Doughboy's hat is made out of dough too? Or is it just a chef's hat?
I think it's just a chef's hat.
Huh.
So you don't want to uncook that?
No.
It would just set on fire.
Yeah.
Pillsbury cooking the... Wow. Did you see this as a recipe somewhere, Jamie?
The other day, I don't know where I saw it. It was on like a Maker website. You know how there's...
This is amazing.
You know what Maker, like the Maker movement is? People make stuff themselves.
Okay, yeah.
Sort of do-it-yourself kind of stuff. But I saw it on that. I was like, huh, I bet Scott Gold would enjoy that info.
You are correct. I think we're going to have to find that and share that with our listeners. And this whole story is way better than what I was going to talk about.
But what were you going to talk about? Go ahead.
My mind is such in a different place. But I was going to talk about the...
Think different, Scott.
Man. I bought the... So Pillsbury has a new form of cookie dough. It's like no artificial flavors, no artificial anything in it. It's like... I can't remember the name of it, but you can find it in the cookie dough area of the grocery store.
Right.
And so I bought those and I made them. I just found that I really prefer the Nestle Toll House cookie dough.
But is that all organic and whatnot?
I don't believe it is.
There it is right there. There's the rub.
I know, but it's not. It's just not like the cookie itself.
Partial hydrogenation.
Here's what it's like. Well, that is absolutely true and horrible and wrong, but true. The Pillsbury cookies seemed like a sugar cookie with chocolate chips in them. That's to me what they taste like. No, but like they just, it's a different type of cookie. And the Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookies feel like chocolate chip cookies. I think maybe it's because maybe more brown sugar or something, you know, different in the dough and the consistency. So it doesn't feel like just...
So you think Pillsbury is just sort of like they make a whole bunch of dough and then they put different things in it.
That's kind of what it feels
instead
like.
Instead of creating the dough specifically for each product.
Yes, Jamie. That is exactly it.
Huh.
So I don't know if that's the case, but I definitely didn't like it as much as when I get the Nestle Toll House cookie dough. So that's what I was talking about.
So I have in front of me the family tree of the Pillsbury Doughboy.
The family tree of the Pillsbury. Oh, I
yes.
Would please enlighten us with the family tree of the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Well, Pillsbury Doughboy's name is Poppin' Fresh.
Interesting.
His wife, Popple Fresh. It's weird that he married someone with a name so similar to his. Ooh. Poppy, not Popple. Popple is his grandpa. Popple? When are we going to go fishing, Popple? I don't know why he talks like that.
This seems like a Smurf lineage.
So Poppy. Poppin' Fresh, Poppy Fresh. His son is Popper Fresh.
I thought it would be like, you know, Poppin' Jr. or something.
Yeah, Poppin' Jr., Popper. Like, Popper's weird. The daughter, Bun Bun. that's a little fresh. Dog is Flapjack. I like that name.
I like
dog.
Flapjack. Me too. Maybe I'd name a dog Flapjack.
The cat, Biscuit. I have a friend who has a cat named Biscuit.
Interesting.
I wonder if she catnapped him
from the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Pillsbury Doughboy.
Now, wait a second. Going through this, he would no longer be the Pillsbury Doughboy in this. He's the Pillsbury Doughman. He has a wife and a kid and a dog.
A dog named Flapjack.
Now, really, the kid would now be the Pillsbury Doughboy. So he has inherited the Doughboy name. I'm just saying.
That is true. Popper. Popper. I don't like that. He did lousy on naming his son.
It's just terrible.
Yeah, he plays harmonica.
Strange.
John Popper. Anyone?
Oh, ba-na-bum.
If you were around in the early 90s.
Then you know what we're talking about. I think that's all I got on the food front. That conversation took an unexpected, strange, and fun turn.
Do-it-yourself cookie bowls.
Do-it-yourself cookie bowls is life-changing, and I can't wait to try it. And it's going to happen, and I'm going to have cookie bowls with ice cream in them and more cookies on top. I might fill my cookie bowls with cookies.
That is truly inspiring.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, I think that's we're going to call it an end to our show this afternoon. Please check us out on iTunes if you can. Give us some rating. That's pretty cool. I'm Scotty G7, and you can check Jamie out at
BSTRDMONKEY on Twitter.
And you know, that's pretty much all we have. We're going to dedicate the show to Mr. Steve Jobs, and, you know, we hope his family is doing okay in these tough times. And as the world mourns, we all mourn. And I believe that technology and everything is in a much better place because of this man. And we can all be excited and happy that we've lived on the earth while he did.
Beyond that, I think the world is in a better place because of, I mean, think of all the things that his technology has done. When you go to a hospital, they use iPads. You know, that's true. Doctors have iPads in their hands to look at the X-rays and
that's very true. My uncle actually just got approved as a radiologist for his MRI reading app, approved by the hospital and approved by the medical board to actually use these things. So that's true. It's the reaches that this has gone are so deep, and you know,
beyond the possibilities of human imagination, really, in a way.
Agreed. And on that note, thank you for joining us.